I'm in Glendale and found love in the South Bay. Yes, I find myself in an LA long distance thing. Guess who helped make it work? AT&T. I bought one phone, got another one on them. And romance is alive on the 101.
Come into an AT&T store, buy a smartphone, and get one on us. More for your thing. That's our thing.
Limited time in areas. Select devices. Each requires up to $900 on installment agreement. Requires one new line of minimum $75 per month service. Free after credits over 30 months, starting within 3 bills. If canceled service, device balance is due. $30 activation, additional fees, taxes, and restrictions apply. See your local AT&T store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Welcome. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm really happy to have a guest with me, a person that I have great respect for. And who's like a really fantastic healer and writer. And we will be getting together with Ambika Talwar in just a few minutes. But before we do, I'd like to introduce my website for, you know, anyone who doesn't know it. It's like I'm always promoting it. Come on. But it's Jason D. McKean, J-A-S-O-N-D. mckean.com, and my website has my tarot reading schedule in Los Angeles. I am a professional tarot reader in the Los Angeles area. I work at the Green Man in North Hollywood and also in Santa Monica at Kathmandu Boutique. And when I'm not doing those places, I teach workshops. I have a workshop coming up in Bakersfield, and the title of that one is Likes, Planning, Action. It's a it's not one about filmmaking. It's how the tarot can work in within this system of, you know, recognizing spirit, mind, and body, and being able to move through these intelligence centers within us and be able to get stuff done, to create abundance in our life, just get us on the right track, you know, so we're not holding ourselves back. And as a tarot reader, I see those areas where we hold ourselves back, and I think, since we all do it, it's okay, right? There's no sweat. No, it's if we recognize when we're holding ourselves back, it's like, you know, we want to do something about it. We want to not hold ourselves back. We want to be able to move forward and get, you know, what it is that we are desiring. All right, so that's actually an upcoming workshop in Bakersfield, and that's going to be September 22nd, Saturday, September 22nd, and then I'm going to be doing another teepee experience in Agora Hills in October 16th, and that's a Tuesday night. That's a school night, so you're going to have to find a babysitter, you know, all you parents and all that are going to come to that. All right. So looking at that, before I get to my guest Ambika today, I did pull a card last night, and I always pull like a random card. I don't just, you know, say, oh, I'd like to talk about this. But it's funny because I kind of laughed a little bit after I pulled this card, because for me, the King of Swords The King of Swords, it represents the card of the writer, the writer, the person who wants to communicate and share and, you know, bring forth ideas and, you know, whether it's in the written form or, you know, gets, you know, in a spoken form, like a video, you know, sometimes it's something as simple as a YouTube video where people feel like they have a desire to speak in that manner. You know, whatever platform that the person uses, it's like, you know, they have something that they want to share and move outside of themselves out into the world. And the King of Swords for me just kind of represents that in spades. The swords, by the way, they collate with the spades in the playing card deck. It's like the wands or the clubs, the hearts are the cups, and the pentacles are the diamonds. So, you know, if anyone who's like out there who's thinking, oh, the tarot is scary and all that, it's like, you know, if you've been playing gin rummy or solitaire your whole life, then it's like you've been, you know, a part of what the tarot, you know, started out as. So, all right. With the King of Swords, though, with it also being, you know, the card of the writer, it's that king energy. It's about, you know, wanting to put one's best foot forward, you know, to do the best, not just half-ass, you know, one's area of expertise or whatever. It's about, you know, creating an area of expertise for yourself and wanting to be at your best as you go forward. All right, so I'm going to get to our guest today, and Ambika Talwar she's an educator, a published author and poet, artist, and you know, I would call her a healer as well, because you know, I've had healing sessions from her, with her, and welcome to Wizard Talk, Ambika Talwar.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here with you today.
How is your Thursday so far?
My Thursday has been quite glorious and chaotic, and then it all fell into place beautifully. As you know, that's the dance. Yeah, that's the dance.
I agree that in our life there's a lot of glory and a lot of chaos, and how we integrate it all, how we just move through it all, it's a testament to, you know, just how it is that we survive it and also revel in it.
Yes, actually, since you speak of this and you've created a context, I want to share with you, since you also mentioned that I'm an educator, it was interesting to me to start this semester sharing with my students about the interconnected unities of all things, and this is a cosmic weave, and we are part of the cosmic weave, and everything we create, our thoughts, our writings, are also a weave. And this is so special to me to be able to share this with you as well, because you know what this is that, you know, that we are talking about. But to especially say this with our students was to see the light shining, and then to see how they all came together. That was a special moment for me this semester. Yes. And it is within this context that I would also share what happens today, you know, during this conversation with you, is that education, art, creativity, poetry, wellness are all part of the same weave of us becoming whole.
Yeah, it's like the energy of you know, something that is like let's say a fact, you know, like some kind of scientific fact. The energy of that mixed in with like poetry, which is more creative, more playful. It can be anyway. You know, some poems can be very serious and all, but. But the way that the words have a more of a connection with feeling, rather than just a stated fact. It's like all of these energies just kind of commingling and creating an expression too. I feel it's a higher expression when all of these things come together. I feel it's like a higher expression. What say you about that?
Yeah. About the higher expression? So that image of a higher expression made me actually feel that it's not all higher or lower, that it's deep, far within, so many layers that it's unfathomable. And yet, when that is something we experience, whether it's in a glimpse and more glimpses and are able to embody it, that it's the totality of all that is, both shadow, light, darkness. It's not good and bad. It's the wholeness of becoming, which is this lovely process that can be awfully painful at times and disconcerting, you know. And within this totality itself, I have to share with you that the last 1 week has been kind of up and down, and I had so much pressure in my head I couldn't sleep a couple of nights until I realized when I woke up and read that, you know, there'd been a typhoon in Japan and then the other storms that are raging, and that within this whole totality we feel this. And sometimes it's not a personal problem, and we need to become aware that our feelings of chaos or confusion is not always a personal problem, but a reaction to a greater turmoil. And once we get that, when we become clear about this, we can separate that from making something an issue and therefore a health problem, you know?
Yeah.
Right there, wellness also becomes a creative process of understanding and recognizing the difference. That's where discernment comes in.
Right. Do you think that everybody, like every person that you've come across anyway, do you see where everyone has that capacity to, you know, have that larger connection to, you know, events or situations that are outside of themselves? They're, like picking up like a cataclysmic event across the world. Does everyone, you know, have that capacity, or do we, you know, fall within different, sensitivity ranges?
I think the latter. We all fall within different sensitivity ranges. My understanding is that maybe at one point I didn't have this capacity either, even though I was sensitive and I would pick up, but I wasn't aware of all of that. So I think that not everybody may have that meter or range, but certainly once you start to become aware of what you do and how you do it, and then are able to separate from it so that you can see it, that is when you start to see the difference. And I'm really grateful that I realized this just this week, even though I've, you know, felt certain cataclysms far away, but I've experienced a reaction to those. Now it's easier to maintain that separation and not take it on as a personal issue and then crowd it with a psychological problem, you know, which is so endemic in our cultures today, crowded as we are with so much in media and television and thought forms. We live in this idea soup, in this idea sphere that can be challenging unless we can choose that which we need to know and understand and make it clear.
You're listening to Wizard Talk, and my guest is Ambika Tawar, who is an author, an educator, a published poet. You have a book of poetry also that's coming out soon, isn't that correct?
Yes, it's actually out. It's called Grateful Conversations, a Poetry Anthology, with 9 poets, and I'm one of them. Yeah, it's already out. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And I do want you to read a poem from it's not from that book. It's from another book. Is that correct?
This is correct. It's called My Greece, Mirrors and Metamorphoses. Subtitle, it's Discover a Journey as Sacred Destiny, a tag title, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Discover a Journey as Sacred Destiny. So, yeah, I'll read the first poem that appears in this. It's actually a travelogue, a spiritual travelogue through Greece, in which I'm not talking about tourist destinations, but I'm talking about how people and places became stories and poems through unraveling that Greece is buried and so are we, during which I'm asking the question, what is our destiny? What is our purpose? Why are we here? So I'm going to read you the first poem that appears in this in the introduction. And here it goes. Whispering icons whose eyes paean of hope and despair long to awaken, to ascend. Come, arrive in me, I say. Reveal to me manifestations of renewal. Instead, the descent, oneros, takes me deeper into the painted and fading faces of antiquity. Will I get lost in forms and dust of historia? Will I find Poseidon in posters, alive as in dream? Will I walk with Athena in stone as she breathes life into olive trees, gains the city an adoration? Will I sup with Dionysus, dancing in mosaic, not pixels of mini-divi, in crumbling caves, temples to deities in the dust? What of Arete and Sophia? When, where did we all lose them? Is our evolution a movement from one technology to another? The anvil of the wordsmith, the furnace, a hidden heart, rhythms of a future memory. Do we recreate the same forms in narratives we think are new? Like a puppet strung in many directions, I close my eyes. Who are we? Where are we going? Why?
It's beautiful.
No. Thank you.
With the and that's at the beginning of the book. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, in chapter one. Yeah.
Towards the end of the book, do you have an answer to that question of who we are? Does it look to answer that question as you go through Greece?
In a way, yes. In my postscript, I don't want to give you the final line, but in my postscript, I firstly bring in a small quotation from the Book of Wisdom, which verse is by one devoted to Sophia. And I have the Greek version, but I'll say these three lines in English. Because, you know, what I come to understand is beauty is a path to peace. And we must nourish it and nurture it. And instead, so much is destroyed. And I hope that we can all keep nourishing and nurturing that beauty in our hearts. So when we recognize it, we learn to cherish it. And I think many people are doing that. So this is from the Book of Wisdom. I loved her more than beauty and good health. And that's Sophia. I loved her more than beauty and good health. And I chose to have her rather than light, because her radiance never ceases. So in my postscript, a poem which is long, so I won't read it, what I'm saying is I'm sort of recapping some of my experiences of traveling in Greece. I'm talking about mythic moments. I'm talking about time and sharing stories. I'm talking about how nature is so much in rhythm and intimate with each other. The sound of fire crackling, the water flowing, steam rising, all of these things happening concurrently in rhythm. I'm talking about the dance. I'm talking about knowing and unknowing. I'm talking about suffering, whether it's being noble or an aspect of strengthening, and things like this, and how we must really learn from ancient wisdom not dissipated in some of the frivolities of our current cultural expressions. And I don't mean to be judgmental about it, but I think we need to synthesize more and express it more. And we need to get in touch with nature. And here, of course, at the very end, I'm also calling about unity through our religious expressions. Why must we separate all of them? Because what we are all trying to get to is that happiness within and the light within.
It seems
within.
To be kind of the same destination, right? That everyone
Correct.
Is trying to
Yes.
get towards.
Yes, and so if the promised land is this beautiful earth, why are we destroying it? Instead, we should build homes here. Beautiful homes. And so what I conclude the poem with is Parashakti. All our lands awaken in longing. Flutes, cellos, black soil, rugged prayers, drums. So many antiquities in my bones called wild and tenderly to remember them. I wished Greece to free me. I'm not sure what she has done. You have to buy the book now to really read the rest of it.
Where can one buy that book?
Amazon. It's available on Amazon. And the title again is My Greece, Mirrors and Metamorphoses.
It's also, you can find it on your website, right? I mean, it would take you to Amazon. But what's your website, Ambika?
www.creativeinfinities.com creativeinfinities.com. It's on the homepage.
Yeah, it's a beautiful site. I really enjoy looking at your website and reading the blogs and all. Did you create that site?
No, I have a wonderful web gal. The photographs are, of course, mine, and but the design is hers. And that's
But there's like photographs
Hoffman
and there's paintings.
Site.
So you're a painter as well.
Yes, I am. One of the images I used in one banner image is a painting I did. It's titled "One Who Sees Dreams," and it's this woman with a golden veil on her head, holding the earth in her hands.
Yeah.
And I put that together with a picture of water and peacock feathers. Yes, that is my design. But the website is Kathy Hoffman's website. She made it.
did you start out as a an artist, as a writer, as a poet? Did you? How did that like come about?
I don't know. I just started writing. I used to write a journal as a child. I started writing poems in college, and I was painting off and on, and then it all starts to come together. You know, it all comes from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes from the same place. And that's why, you know, I don't see how we can separate education from creativity and poetry and art and music and good living and health. It's all the same coming to harmony and wholeness. And I think we need that kind of worldview to run our systems from now on. And our people are doing that too, so so much for that. Yeah.
As a child, though, I mean, did you paint? Did you, you know, excel in any artistry? Or did it come later, like you said that when you were in college and all that, you just started writing more?
Well, I tell you something. When I was a child, I used to get people in the neighborhood together. You know, I was 9, 10. And I would write little scripts, and I would direct them and put them up. You know, even something as simple as a nursery rhyme and make that into a little play. So I loved directing then. And I know when I was growing up, I wanted to be a filmmaker. And I did make a film in 2000. It won an award in Belgium, and I don't know if I sent you a link to that, but it's called Androgyne, and on YouTube it is A Story of Arista. I had to write a new title on there. But yes, for me, And that painting, She Who Sees Dreams, and I think I've been dreaming up things all these years, and it's time to see them in form.
Mm-hmm.
So it all connects. That's why it feels to me it all comes from the same place. Creativity is that source, creativity, nature, and that which fills our being.
And it sounds like the your healing. I mean, you on your website you say that, you know, you have like a keen interest in healing and all. But I mean, that I think, you know, at your core you are a healer, right? It's like however that energy is expressed, you know, it's through you know, the poetry, it's through your education, it's you know, being an educator, it's through your words, but also there's other levels of that. Is that what you're teaching upcoming at your teleclinic?
About my teleclinic, well, I have, yeah, let me give a little context about the teleclinic and about the healing. When I was in college in India, I was called to take the St. John's Ambulance course. So somewhere in my psyche, in my being, is this aspect of being present in case someone needed something. And all of these things, again, come together. And then I had an injury in 2006. I'd studied some modalities before, but when this happened in 2006, I was drawn to another modality that somebody took me to, and I studied Cam Yun's work. And he said I should call it whatever I wanted to. And so my work evolved under the name of IE:Intuition Energetics. Mm-hmm. And this is what I do. And I do one-on-one sessions. I do group work. I've done group sessions in India. I've done group teleclinics here. And I've set up some for September 17th and 24th, Monday evening. And I have new dates coming up in October. And what happens is some things we know when we do this work is that when you have a concern and you come to me or to anyone who does holistic work, energetic work, is that if you may have, say, for example, a backache and it keeps coming back and you've had different kinds of treatments, and my job is to see where it's coming from instead of just treating the backache. It could be a thought form you had, you know, that lodges in your body. It could be a memory of another injury and it's causing stress, or stress in your daily life irritates and triggers the pain again and again. So what we do is to source the stress, and, you know, and what I do is the same thing. I look at where it's coming from to bring it to your awareness, and then the pain ceases. It's like if you're irritated with something, until you know what it is, you don't know what it is you're working with or what you're working up against. So when I do a group session on the, you know, on the net, for example, that's what I also do. So for instance, you and other clients may sign up. You will send me three of your concerns. I don't want to know the whole story, because that really takes it away. Just give me some of the concerns, and then we tune in, and then we work on the group and then individual concerns as they show up. One of the things is that we, you know, the group becomes one, because you may have a backache, somebody else may have one, but it may not have been a concern for them, but then it clears that stress for everyone. And that's the beauty and the simplicity and the elegance of my work. So thank you for asking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I find that, you know, when I'm working with groups, it's like there is an energy. There is like this extra layer of energy that is created from everyone just kind of, you know, pulling into it, like or being pulled into it, whether it's a vortex or whatever. But it's you know, one can use that energy, you know, to help clear up you know, like aches and pains, or to feel to feel, you know, just a basic connection too. Like, you know, you're not alone in the world, and you know, tap in, into that support. What's that?
That's true. In fact, when there's a group, there's a synergy, and so the synergistic effect alleviates it, things faster for everybody. Because, you know, things get triggered, and that's a good thing. We want things to get triggered. So then they come up, and it's like coming up for air and freedom. You know, I like the idea of, you know, we want to be free of the pain. Maybe the pain wants to be free of us as well. Maybe the issue also wants to be free, you know?
Yeah,
and we hold on to it.
And I think when people are ready to let go of something, then that's when they're instructed or activated to go to a healer, or you know, to be in a group setting where they can you know, they give that permission to just let go of whatever is ailing them, and to be in a more like catalytic state, you know, again, where they're just ready for that change, and ready to be a part of that change, rather than just waiting for it to just happen to them. Or, you know, I'm of the mindset that we are our own best healers, in that, you know, when we activate our own body, our own spirit, our mind, and our heart energy, to effectuate healing within ourselves, it's like it's a very powerful force. But sometimes, you know, we get in states of, like, you know, where we just have to hang on and hang on to stuff, because it's just, we're not ready to let go of it yet. You know, I think that it's that there are you know, healers, places of healing that can really give us that catalytic just push to get energy moving again, and you know, for our own you know, positive change, positive well-being, you know, of clearing, of just, you know, getting rid of that which we no longer have to carry. And with your teleclinic, again, you call it teleclinic 33.
Yes, because it costs $33.
Oh, I was thinking, oh, that 33, yeah. that's like, wasn't Jesus 33 when he was crucified?
Oh, my goodness, I never thought of that, you know, but I have to tell you, no, it's me that, no, because several years ago, and I don't want to, you know, tell the whole story, but he used to appear to me. It was the most incredible experience. And there was a time when I'm walking somewhere, and suddenly this beam of light comes down, and I know it's his presence. And I just stand there with my arms down, and the presence, the whole beam of light goes through me. And so, indeed, it is true. He has a special place in my presence being, in my awareness. Yes, so, but I never thought of 33 in terms of his age. You know, it was just...
Sure. Age that he died. It was just a very powerful activation of, you know, like where he was put out there and made all this difference. So it's the cost of the teleclinic.
because, you know, to make it affordable. You know, after this, I have a longer one, which is 97, but that is also discounted to $67.50. I mean, people will see that on my webpage. But we are doing this one now, and I'll be doing at least two a month, and doing one a month of the other one. But right now we have Teleclinic 33 for September 17th and 24th.
And
it's on my Facebook page called Luminous Fields.
Yeah.
That's where the information is, as well as on my website. But the Luminous Fields gives you the dates, yes. But I wanted to say something that, tell me. Go ahead.
No, I just to recap that, as far as like the mechanics of it are through Zoom
the software that allows for the conference type of calling or there on your computer. So it is something that you don't go to physically. It's something that you go to through your computer.
Yes.
And it's through Zoom. So you have to sign up. You have to have an account there. That's a free account. It's a free account with Zoom.
Yeah. So I have the account, and when people sign up and send me their concerns, and then I send them the link and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we record it as well. And the beauty about this work is that even if you're not present on the Zoom during the workshop or the teleclinic, you still get the effect of it completely.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say before I interrupted the mechanics of the...
No. Oh, you didn't interrupt me. We were just... and I wanted to say something about... You said something about when you're ready to let go. And sometimes it's a challenge to know when you're ready to let go because there's so much pressure around stuff. And suddenly one day you say, why am I holding on to this? That's when something is cleared. And then there's the chaos of releasing, this and this and these layers and these layers. So it's not always easy, but it's so necessary, especially now when so many of us want to live in the wisdom of our own inner self.
Mm-hmm.
And with that rhythm, it's so important now. So my teleclinic for the 17th is called Clear on Purpose, Be Clear on Purpose. And the next one will be something else. But it'll all still connect. Everything is interconnected.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's so much in... Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
You don't know what that was?
You were ringing a bell.
What is that? Why is there a bell?
I'm not ringing it.
It is time to ask your question of the tarot.
That's right.
See, I can tell when my guests have not listened to my show before because that always signals when it's time to ask your question of the tarot.
When I went to a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh, every time a bell was rung, you were meant to stand still. So I was in the bookshop. I did not know about this, so I played on one of their chimes and everybody stopped. I'm like, I didn't know. I went to another one. I played another one. Everybody stopped and stood still. The third time it happened, I looked around. I'm like, why are they doing this? And that's when I realized I was ringing the bell.
You're thinking, I have so much control over everyone.
No. I'm like, why? What am I missing? But they were programmed to be. And that was my first time there. So that was quite hilarious. So, I was when the bell came on. So, the tarot, whatever Divine Mother wants us to know.
All right. Pull three cards. I'm pulling two cards at the moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. These two cards are both pentacles. Pentacles are manifestation. They're, how we create our comfort, our sustainability, the environment around us and to make sure that we're not in a place of want, that we're taken care of. And the Queen of Pentacles comes up and that's one of making sure that that you're taking care of yourself, that you're getting the proper rest, that you're able to get enough to eat, nourished, just all of your physical needs are being met. You had said something about you were having trouble sleeping or something the other the other night or whatever when the typhoon was there. You're picking up these extra energies and all. And, you know, it's whatever, you know, you can do to soothe that connection so that, you know, it doesn't throw you off for the work that you need to do in the world.
Right.
It's like, it doesn't mean that you won't feel it, but as far as I think that awareness that, you know, it can be something else that's going on, you know, that awareness can help, you know, just kind of soften the blow of it. So
right.
You're not having to bear the brunt of it.
Right.
The second card, the Nine of Pentacles, that's the woman with the bird in her hand. And there's a partial wall, and then there's sky above that. And it's a card of wanting the best of both worlds for yourself, where, again, you know, you're surrounded with the means to make sure that you're comfortable in life, or you're sustaining yourself, the physical body. But with that open sky, the bird, that's about where, you know, you're still looking to grow. You know, it's like you don't want to cap that potential. It's like, you know, keep it open and allow for, you know, however you're meant to evolve, to spiritually grow, you know, that where there's that freedom to be who you need to become.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, mm-hmm. the four of cups comes up, and I see the Four of Cups as a card of being the seed of the miracle that being to have, I want to put it in air quotes, like happen, as far as, you know, because miracles are something that they just feel like they come out of the blue, right? Like we don't expect it. But we're connected to it. You know, it's like, you know, we talk about this aspect of the interweave of our hopes, desires, and all, and how it manifests and all, and you know, we don't have control of how all of these things will come to pass, but we know that we are like a encoded with this potential of what we would see as like a miracle, right? And and I feel that is, you know, what you're wanting for yourself on a deep level. I feel that is you know, something that you are moving towards, and it's something that, you know, you will just kind of like turn around a corner there, and there it will be, and act surprised when you see it.
Yeah, I like that. Happy surprises. We live for happy surprises.
I mean, there's a lot of them in life. I know from my own experience and all that. In some ways I become less like shocked. You know, like if I have these synchronistic moments or. You know, there's a particular windfall that just kind of like, it's like, wow, you know, that's really exciting. You know, I'm really happy I went to this place because I didn't know that, you know, I would either meet this person or, you know, be in this energy of abundance, you know, and I feel that with the cups, you know, that's heart center. That's like love. It's you know, how we connect with others. And so I feel that miracle is, you know, coming in this autumn. You know, October has October energy on it.
That's the time of harvest, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's when the seeds that we've planted, when they come to fruition, and it's time to gather them and to take them into hearth and home and to enjoy them, right? It's, you know, those things that come to us, it is about enjoying, you know, what it is that we are given. And, you know, I see that too, definitely with the Queen of Pentacles, because she loves what she loves. And that's, you know, these areas of joy and things that give her a good feeling there. So it's, that's your reading, Ambika.
Thank you. This is beautiful. And beautiful that, you know, I get this reading from you right in the middle of this. It's glorious. So may I share a short poem with you?
Please.
It's called Be My Laughing Heart. Be my laughing heart, uncrowded with tears. Let salty sweet tears water deserts so new plants grow. Be my laughing heart, where dreams bear fruit. Let new seeds sprout love that weaves stories of delight. Be my laughing heart, whose sounds like running brooks run through the cosmos and come to silence in your eyes. Be the laughing heart that contains my laughing heart, so tears never confound, but slake our thirst, or what is the cosmos for? See, I just picked this poem up today. It had to come with me. And it follows your reading. So I had to read it for you.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you, thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
I mean, it's there's a saying that I like to use, which is, you know, when something touches me, like deep inside, you know, that it can make my heart smile, you know, that's, I feel like the heart energy or the heart center within each of us, that's where we look to connect with others, to, you know, just tap into each other's spirits or their spiritual journey, you know, where we, you know, see the value in everyone and in everyone's experience. You know, it's like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that there's like this namaste moment, right, where we recognize the divinity in one another. And I don't know if I'm extending that by seeing it as, you know, recognizing someone else's joys and suffering and looking to you know, be in like an accordance with them, or you know, this recognition of like, God, you know, it's like, you know, we all are going through what we're going through, and you know, it's like you were saying earlier, it's like we're looking for, you know, to find our own happy place, you know, either within,
right,
or you know, and it's like I think that's kind of the start of it. You know, it's like when we see how everyone else is kind of looking for that same thing, I think we can either, you know, loosen up within ourselves, right, and kind of let go of any hatreds or resentments, or, you know, all those good strong words that is like, what? It's like I don't hate anyone. It's like, oh yeah, except for, you know, like all these things that I do.
right. Yeah, no, absolutely. A moment of namaste that happened when we met as well. And, you know, I've gone through a lot since then too. But I'm also in this place where really a lot is shedding, and I'm so grateful for that. And really grateful for the shedding. And it leaves one in a place where there's that uncertainty. What am I doing here today? And then you just do what you're scheduled for, and things fall into place. And I think when we overthink things, that we create more problems. Yeah, that kind of thing. So I want to wish everybody, you know, since you talk about that happy place, everybody, happiness to which we are not attached, because often what happens is people feel happy, then they think of all the times when they're sad, and they become sadder than before. You know? So be happy, but be neutral about being happy. because in that neutrality is the strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so, you know, be sad, but be neutral to the sadness so you don't get attached to it, you know? And this
yes.
is partly, you know, part of the drama that we go through and part of the healing that my modality also offers is to become neutral. And people misunderstand neutrality as not caring. It's actually a place of strength whereby we can clear and then see and resolve so that things are dissolved and you don't need the same story again.
Right, right. Yeah, it does. It can take a while just to kind of wrap one's head and heart around what that feels like, that neutrality.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not being dead to your life. It is you know where you're not run by, you know, your feelings, you know, whether it doesn't become that roller coaster within you.
Yes.
That
yes.
is like just you know, feels like it's going out of control. Tell me again, how can people find your teleclinic 33?
So, one, go to my website, www.creativeinfinities.com. On the left side, you join the community, send in your email address, and download My Prayer for You. You can listen to it on your cell phone, on your computer. You get to have it forever. The Teleclinic 33 appears on Facebook, Luminous Fields. It is also on my, when you download it under Events and Offerings, and 2018 Teleclinics, it's right there. But the dates are on the Facebook page. And I will also be sending out newsletters, but you'll get it only if you're on my mailing list, which means you must join the community. I also offer single sessions and packages of 3 and 7. And we're just working out all the gifts that go with that. And you have some gorgeous gifts coming with that, too. So, again, creativeinfinities.com. My Facebook page is Luminous Fields. My Twitter account is Luminous Fields. And so it goes. You'll find more information on my website to play with. There's a page for poetry, page for education. And we're all, you know, we are all kind of wanting to understand how to stay unified or in unity with the blessings and grace that we experience and which I wish for you.
Beautiful.
How much time do we have now?
We are about at the end of our conversation for today on Wizard Talk and Bika Talwar. Do you care to, well, what I wanted to say was like kind of why, you know, again, kind of chuckled when I randomly picked the King of Swords. Do you care to tell us what Talwar means?
Oh, was it random?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, well, you know, I know. So sword is... Talwar, and my last name is Talwar, which means sword. It has certain slight different meanings, slight differences in certain other languages, but yeah, Talwar means sword as well. So, and Ambika is one of the names of Divine Mother.
Yes, and you know, I mean, why was pleased by it was, of course, the association with the writer. And
right.
that's right. A very important way of your expression is through the books that you're writing and the poems and you know, as an educator as well. It's like, you know, the written word, the spoken word, that is it's key. You know, it's like
I teach writing. You know, that's right. Yeah,
I mean, it's, the energy doesn't lie.
No,
that's what I find in the tarot and with all my meetings with various people in the world. It's like energy doesn't lie. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on today, and many blessings, Ambika, and your work is very, very important in the world, and how it is expressed as healing energy as well. And I ask that people go to the to your website, creativeinfinities.com, and check it out, and sign up if you're ready. If you're ready to start clearing energy and all, sign up for the teleclinic. At this is your time. So any last words of wisdom?
Yeah, I want to thank you for supporting me, having me on your show, and sharing your wisdom as well. And I wanted to add a tiny thing. Since you talked about writing, when I was born, my grandmother wrote an om on my tongue with honey.
Mm-hmm.
And that is typically what, it's part of my tradition, but it just dawned on me that she wrote om on my tongue.
With honey?
Yes. You know, use a silver stick, and with honey or tulsi on your tongue, on my tongue.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of that. So that's really precious, because you also said we're at the beginning, it's the part of the seed, the seeding of things.
Yes. Yes.
This has been a magical time with you. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you, Ambika. Thank you. And many, many blessings. And I'll have you back on Wizard Talk, and we'll go through it without any technical difficulties whatsoever in the future.
No problem. This was fun too in its own way. I was like, what is happening?
Yes, yeah. It's like called writing with the uncertainty, which is, life gives us those opportunities too.
Yes, right. That's right.
All right.
So
have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Stay blessed and gorgeous.
Thank you, Ambika.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. And thus endeth another episode of Wizard Talk. And again, my guest today was Ambika Talwar, and her website, www.creativeinfinities.com, and that's INFINITIES, infinities, plural, .com, and you can check out her offerings there, and the Teleclinic 33 that we've been talking about. All right, my website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMCKEAN.com, and that has my tarot reading schedule and my OM CDs that are played throughout the world. And enjoy. I'll be back next Thursday, but until then, have a blessed week, and thank you for listening to Wizard Talk. All right.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the moon is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the moon is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.